This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit Paylus Inchpesek. Hello, my friends. Last week we had Armenian Independence Day, and we weren't able to get it out on time, and our show's this Monday. Just like to give a big shout out for all our Armenian soldiers out there, and all our Armenian people that have shed blood, that have fought for this country, that have fought for Artsakh, that have fought for even in Beirut, in Syria, wherever you have fought that you're an Armenian, that you've spilled blood. We know that every drop of Armenian blood is very valuable to us, and God bless all of you, and God bless Armenia. We're still a young country, and we're still trying to get the right mechanism of becoming a little country that just solidified together. And you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen, and it's going to take a little time. But you know what? You look at it. You think about it for 1 minute. We've got countries all around us that don't really like us, okay? And yet we can still fly into Armenia and still take out the music and enjoy life and just be happy. And the people in Artsakh, God bless them too. And that's why we went with our band, Voices of Artsakh. That was one of our guests that we interviewed. And folks, it's people like that that just amaze us, that do so much for Armenia and Artsakh and just the diaspora. Just the morale they keep in all of us by just keeping the strength of all of us, that we are so proud of you, and God bless, and happy Independence Day, Armenia. We'll never abandon Armenia, and we'll always stay strong. Even if we're on one side of the planet, we'll always be all Armenians, and we'll always grasp onto little Armenia. Hey, Brian, We had some people that are sent me some messages asking, hey, have you guys heard about Voices of Artsakh? And I said, Voices of Artsakh, I don't know what this is all about. And it's a band out there, and you found some music on Voices of Artsakh. And I tell you what, we are excited to have one of the band members on right now, George Alexanyan. George, how are you?
I'm fine, and you?
We are doing good, my friend. We are doing good. Where are you at right now? Are you in Armenia or are you in Artsakh?
I'm in Artsakh, and I'm in the office of Voices of Artsakh right now.
Well, all right, beautiful, beautiful. How's the weather over there?
I think it's better than yesterday, because yesterday we had rain. Uh-huh. I love the weather over here. So, yes, everything is great.
You know what? I'm planning on visiting Armenia, and one of these days I'm definitely coming to Artsakh as well, and hope to see you guys perform. So tell me.
We are waiting for you. We are waiting for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, George. Tell me how this thing, this whole project, how this all took off, how you guys got started.
So it's been more than 10 years of Voices of Artsakh, and I'm in the group for 4 years, and the group started with the initial of our producer, Lira Kocharyan, who is right now in Yerevan preparing for our next Eurovision, Junior Eurovision. Armenian Misha from Voices of Artsakh will represent Armenia this Eurovision. So, yes, it's been 10 years of Voices of Artsakh. We have more than 5 or 6 music videos, and 2 are coming. So, wait.
Okay, now, George, how many band members, how many singers, how many performers were the original when you guys put this together?
In the main group, we have 10 performers for now.
10?
And also we have another performers who are not in main group, but who are Rosh Sobertsakh too. And together we are more than 20 people.
Wow. Wow. 20 yeah. band members. Wow. That's exciting. That's exciting. Do you
also,
all...
Also, we have some ex-band members who are now very famous all over Armenia. For example, Razmikanyan, Kaya Arzumanyan, and also Vartan Badalyan, Andre, etc.
Nice, nice. Is it difficult to have everyone have an input on how they want certain things done? Is it or do you folks just compromise pretty good as a team? Is it tough for 20 people to come up with some sort of organization on the music?
Sometimes it's hard because we have different
opinions. Yeah.
Yeah, we have different opinions, we have different point of view, and sometimes we are mixing everybody's point of view and we are getting what we are getting.
Mm-hmm.
But the final change is the final changes are made by our producer, Mira Kocharyan, and if she's not agree with anything we say, it will not happen. She's
nice.
The boss.
Nice, nice. That's beautiful. So she's the one that put this thing together?
Yeah, she's the one. Without her, we are nothing.
Oh, bravo, bravo. So was it one day she just said, I'd like to put a band together named Voices of Artsakh?
Yeah, it's been 10 years ago. She and Artur Grigorian, I don't know if you know him, they decided to have this group and to just have a lot of people in one place singing Artsakhian songs and showing Artsakh all over the world. They had more than 5 tours, and one of them was in America, U.S.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And yes, we are so happy to be in the group because I think for me the group gave me a lot of things, a lot of knowledge. I went to many countries all over the world with the group. We have toured over Germany, over Belgium, over Iran.
Wow. It seems to me.
Also we had tour over France, over Switzerland. And I don't remember the others.
Wow. It seems to me that you folks have become really good friends too. All 20 of you have become real good friends just getting to know each other as well.
I think we're not only friends, we are family.
Family.
We are together all day, all night. We are all the time talking to each other, knowing each other, and we are literally every day today with each other.
Very nice. Very nice. Let me ask you too, George, with the political climate with, your neighbor isn't a happy neighbor with you. And, it's to think about that and still perform on a happy level. Is that difficult?
Sometimes they are not happy with what we do. We are called Voices of Artsakh, and sometimes when we publish our music videos, we see a lot of comments from them, a lot of bad comments, and that hurts sometimes, but we don't care. We do what we want to do, and we want to show to all over the world that Artsakh is great. And there are many talents all over the Artsakh, and we find that talent and we show to the world who we are and what we can do.
Yeah, yeah. I think, George, what you represent in Artsakh is the torch. It's the fire that the entire world of Armenians just grasp onto that hold. And we're so proud of seeing Artsakh, and then on top of that, seeing Artsakh, the youth, just be happy and singing. And you know what? There's much more to it than just military, and you folks are definitely showing that, and we're very proud of you.
We are very happy that people watch us, people listen to us, and they like our music. We are so, we appreciate everything, every comment, every like. And sometimes when we go abroad for a tour or a concert, people just come to talk with us, and they say that they thought that it's a village in Artsakh, and people don't know what English music is, people don't know what music is, and they didn't know that we have that big talent. And they are all the time, they are being surprised of our talent and how we sing. We don't only sing Armenian songs when we go abroad. We also sing popular hits from all over the world. And I think they like our concert. That's why they invite us more and more.
I tell you what, George, I think our man Brian, our producer, he's got some music. We're going to key it up and play it. Producer really liked that one. He found that one from you guys. It seems like a very friendly, patriotic, and just good people just singing together. And you guys are, like you said, you're traveling throughout the world.
Yeah, we are traveling all over the world. So we have many tours.
And where are you headed next to? Where's our next trip?
I don't know, because it's not
nothing
clear yet.
Yeah, nothing definite yet. So right now then, do you guys play any songs, any music for Armenia, or do you go play for the troops, or do you guys, what's your game plan? Anything going on?
We have two music videos to premiere in the next month. One is the group song by all the group, and the other one is by one of the members of the group.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you something. We don't sing only in the group. We sing also by individual, and everybody has their own songs, own music videos, but we all mix up in one song when we are together. Our plan for the future is two new music videos and more than 10 new songs.
Okay. So is that what you like to release, about 10 new songs?
I think this year, next year, and we will be releasing new songs maybe every month or every 3 months. I don't know. That depends on our producer, because she knows what she does.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. I got you. Well, I tell you what, my man, you guys definitely seem like you're on the right track. You're doing everything right. And, what, Brian, you got one more there? Brian's excited about one more song there that he's got one more clip yeah. out there.
Well, I wanted to say that as a non-Armenian, I really, really loved your music. I started listening to it, and it really just blew me away how complex it was and how just everything fit together. It was just brilliant stuff.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you like our music.
And George, I'll tell you what, he's not Armenian. He is not Armenian, and he loves your stuff. So that is beautiful.
I think we like our new songs too.
Yeah. What do you got this time, Brian? Let's hear this one.
All right, here we go.
Love about that is how you guys take, like, it sounds like traditional, and then you convert it into some sort of a new upbeat type of music with it. So it's very it's contemporary music mixed with culture music. It's beautiful stuff.
So yeah, Horovel is ethnic music, which was written more over than, I don't know, maybe 1,000 years ago. So we took Horovel, we took lyrics, we took music, but we did new arrangements, and we just, I don't know, we decided to make something more than just ethnic music from it. And we made that music video and that song.
Wow, wow. Well, you know what? We wish you nothing but the best. And where can our listeners find you guys? Where can they listen to you? Do you have a homepage? How do we find Voices of Artsakh?
We have a Facebook page where we post all our music videos, our songs, backstage and everything. Also, we have Instagram, and everything is just type Voices of Artsakh in the finder. So you will find us.
My friends, I think you ought to give these folks, these kids, a shot here. I think what they're doing is noble. It's very, very exciting to see people in Artsakh. You know, they're not thinking military. They're not thinking. Something in the lines of, something in war or about. These kids want to live a normal life, and they're showing that Artsakh can be a normal state of country too, and that's beautiful. We love you guys, and keep doing what you're doing. If there's anything that we can do for you, just give us a shout. And Voices of Artsakh. I hope
Thank
to hear
so
a lot from you.
For inviting us.
You're
we
more than welcome.
You.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you.
Take care, George, and we'll hear much more of Voices of Artsakh. Anything comes out, please let us know.
Thank you. We will.
All right. Take care. Well, I tell you what, Brian, that was unbelievable. That was unbelievable. These kids, man, they're a group, and it seems like they practice day in, day out, and it's so much national pride. I mean, these are the type of kids that think about the Artsakh soldier, that think about, hey, how proud are we to have this land? And this is what diaspora, this is what Armenia, this is what all of the, this is what Armenian Independence Day is all about here. This is the type of people that make us so proud. Voice of Artsakh, thank you so much. And we will be checking you out in the future as well. Folks, our next guest, well, it's not really our next guest. She's part of the show here, Anush Garibyan O'Connor. Anush, how are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing fine. I'm doing fine. And you did some, reporting out there? You were out there.
I did. Last week was so exciting. There was the event that's called Innovate Armenia, and it's hosted at the USC.
And so you recorded all this.
Mm-hmm. I did the wine segment because this is my segment, but I wanted to give a little bit information on the Innovate Armenia. This is, I think, second or third time it's held. And it's basically, they say, the Armenia's, the best intellectual and innovative talent are invited to interact at this event. They give speeches, they showcase their development. There is a lot of, there's chess, there is all sorts of things. There's music, there is food. So this is a wonderful one-day festival. And so they're saying that Innovate Armenia is where heritage meets innovation. So my son kept asking, he's like, Mommy, why are they innovating Armenia? I said, well, because they're constantly rethinking things, redeveloping, making it better. So it was a fun event filled with lots of information, music, food, photography, and of course wine, and that's where I had to go.
Wow, that's really interesting, because you had probably a lot of conversations, different type of conversations about everything going on with, what is it, the businesses of Armenia or the politics? What's it stemming from?
I did not stay for the whole thing. I don't know if they talked about politics, but it's basically, it says multiple the talents from around the world presenting, discussing, challenging, and creating a new global Armenian identity. So I would think that everything was involved in it, from food to music to wine to computers to all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So
protecting human life, developing digital era system, addressing critical need for the Armenian language. Yes, I see it. It's beautiful. It really is. And you interviewed, tell us a little bit about who you interviewed.
Yes. So I contacted Naidi. She is the international sales director for the Armenian wine company. And I had a beautiful conversation with her. She gave me a lot of insight of how, of what stage the industry is now on the trends of the wine drinking. It's a wonderful conversation. So I really enjoyed it.
What was her name again?
And I really enjoyed the wines too. Her first name is Naidi. And her last name is Chaglasyan.
Chaglasyan.
So, exactly. And she's the international sales director for the Armenia Wine Company.
All right. So here's the interview, folks. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Hello there. So excited today. We're here at the Innovate Armenia. A lot of various fun companies representing Armenia at this event, but I'm here today for wine. And my guest is Naidi. Hi, Naidi. How are you?
Hi. Hello. I'm very well. Thank you. I'm doing great. I'm really excited also to be here. This is a fantastic event. I don't know when this is going to air, but if you're in LA,
it's going to air Monday.
Okay, well, you'll miss it, but you can follow it maybe later. Look up at the live feed.
Yeah.
So
is this your first time here? Is this the first event?
No, I mean, it's my first participation in Innovate Armenia event, mm-hmm. but it's not my first time in Los Angeles nor at USC. I graduated from USC in 91.
Oh.
So this is my alma mater, and it's great to be back. It's an honor to be here for representing the winemaking industry and also to be, you know, part of this really incredible panel of guests, speakers, and you know, members of the audience. So I'm happy to be here.
That's wonderful. So that leads me to another question. How did you get involved into the wine industry?
As you know, it's quite funny. In fact, especially Armenians might connect to our life stories. We are very mobile people and very
True.
International and global. And I have, after graduating from USC, I have worked and lived in different countries and worked in different sectors, from trading in commodities to doing events to booking artists. And about 10 years ago, I settled in Spain and in Madrid. And what does one do in Spain?
Oh, yeah.
With international trading or international commerce background. So it was either jamón yeah. wine or olive oil. So I
cheese.
Possibly cheese. But I answered an ad in the paper for a small boutique exporter of wine. And I know the rest is history. It's been 10 years now I was involved in that business. So
that's wonderful. I love wine. I love Spanish wine. Recently, I've been getting more into it, and it's just so fascinating. But whom are you representing today here?
Yes. Okay. I love wine too. I mean, wine is it's fantastic opportunity for me to be talking today about wine. My two passions, wine and Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
I was given this opportunity about a year ago to join the first and the largest Armenian producer of wine, Armenia Wine Company. We had met in the wine business. It's quite small, and you meet people internationally in exhibitions, and they had heard about this Armenian girl who was working in Spain. I met the owners, Vartges Vartanyan and Vahag Magachan. They've been trying to get me back to my homeland, and at the end I jumped. I said, okay, this is a fantastic time to be doing this. Armenia is going through a winemaking boom. I saw the winery. I was blown away by the technologies, in the investment, by the sheer capacity of the project. And I said, wow, I want to be a part of this. So this is my second harvest at Armenia mm-hmm. Wine Company.
So what do you do exactly?
Okay,
what's your role?
I'm the export director. I'm looking to find new markets for our wines.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Internationally.
Of course, yeah. Let's say international sales director.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So where have you, where do they have their wines?
Currently, we are exporting to 16 countries.
Wow.
Okay, so it's a very interesting path. I mean, if anyone is involved in the sector, they know how long is the cycle of selling wine from introduction or meeting or making the first contact to the first shipment. A year can pass easily. So this is a really long-term project, and whoever invests in the wine business must realize, I mean, there's a lot of romantic notions about this business.
Oh, yeah.
People
but it's
think
not.
We drink wine all day long, and then I'm at cocktail parties and
yeah,
drinking
exactly.
champagne from breakfast to night. You know, we're schlepping a lot of samples around.
Mm-hmm.
We're convincing a lot of people to try Armenian wine, because a lot of people, even very well-read and interesting and traveled people, don't know what is Armenia or where is Armenia.
Exactly.
Nonetheless, that there's wine in Armenia. So in that sense, of course, it's a big challenge, because Spain was easier. I was, you know, Spanish wine is well,
yeah.
you know, renowned.
Yeah.
It was much easier to do my work. But this is more challenging. It's more interesting. And we're knocking a lot of doors, and we're having a lot of success as well. I mean, it's slow, but if you have a quality product you believe in, and Armenia has fantastic wines, you know, we represent an incredible terroir with our volcanic soil, our indigenous varietals, the high altitude, the history. There's so many stories to tell. Everything is personal,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
yeah.
it's a story you're selling at the end.
Exactly. It's a story. It's interpersonal relationship. It's mm-hmm. basically you are the face of the company, and
of course, I mean, there's a team behind me, and I mean, I'm surrounded by professionals. We have specialist winemakers from the old world, from France, from Germany, from Italy, working, because quite a big winery we represent. Our total capacity is 5 million bottles of wine, 4 million of still wine, sparkling. We do Charmat method wines. The wines are really interesting in many ways. I mean, the fact, you know, the criteria I mentioned earlier, but also because these are indigenous varietals. These are the grapes that are some of the most ancient in the world.
Yeah.
They have not been changed. They're genetically identical to the grapes that were found, for example, in Areni 1K.
6,000.
Exactly.
Yeah.
6, so there are lots of fascinating stories. I mean, just imagine you're drinking the same wine that people drank 7,000 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really cool.
In a better format.
Yeah, of course. Cleaner, modern. I mean, exactly. You don't get, you know, I mean, then they drank wine because the water was dangerous to drink.
Exactly. Yeah. So where is the winery located, the Armenia Wine Company?
Mm-hmm. We are located in its Aragatzotan region. It's Ashtarak, so it's about 35 minutes from Yerevan.
From Yerevan. Mm-hmm.
So quite a short drive. We encourage visits. I think we are probably one of the first to also open up the winery completely, meaning all production facilities for visitors. We do tastings. We have just recently opened a restaurant as well. So We love to see people come and mm-hmm. tell them and show them, because really this is about education as well. We're changing habits. We're really, I think, a trailblazer, a trendsetter, because as the quality of wine improves in Armenia, there's more enthusiasm about it locally. It's quite trendy now to drink wine in Armenia.
Yeah. I was doing an episode on the wine bars, and it seems like within past few years, at least like 6 wine bars popped up, and it's the drink of the choice for the young people.
Absolutely. There's wine festivals. There's a wine academy. People are really into wine. I mean, this is a fantastic new development for Armenia, Armenian society, Armenian economy. I mean, at the end, we forget, but this is development of agriculture. This is farming.
Exactly.
At the moment, I mean, you know, with all the silly stories you hear, and there's some projects, there's lack of grapes. We have not enough grape to make wine, red wine. Armenia has a really interesting history of millennia of winemaking, but winemaking went into hibernation during the Soviet period.
Yes.
Because the accent was on brandy. Stalin made a decree mm-hmm. That Armenia was to make brandy while his native Georgia was going to make wine. And so most of our grapes were for brandy production, meaning volume, meaning white grapes. So the red grapes were uprooted. And then later on again, Gorbachev.
Gorbachev. Then he forbid all the... It was like, wasn't
85,
it...
85, he uprooted all... there was a decree to fight alcoholism.
Exactly,
to
yeah.
all the vineyards. And then, of course, the collapse of the Soviet Union was the end of the... Mm-hmm. Complete collapse of the viticulture, or grape
agriculture, yeah.
And
for
now,
the most of the part.
The viticulture is the most advanced sector of agriculture in Armenia, and there's planting of vineyards. We are, as Armenia Wine Company, planting about 100 hectares every year.
Every year, wow.
Because we have to have consistent mm-hmm. quality of grape every year, which is a challenge. Although it's getting better every year, we're training farmers to do the green harvest, mm-hmm. to not give us volume, give us quality.
So
it's a process, but I think it's fantastic for the development of the sector, of the country. I think it's one of the, we have to have export.
Exactly. And the winemaking, to me, it seems it's directly linked to the tourism. Bringing in money into the economy.
Of course.
With your case, you have the restaurant.
Of course.
Maybe bed and breakfast at some places.
Exactly. We're working on that, and some other wineries also have these possibilities. And I think this is another way of making Armenia an attractive destination. And also, of course, when people come and drink the wine in Armenia, say, oh, I want to... We get all the time email, where can I find this in the U.S.? Where can I find this in Canada? Where can I find this mm-hmm. wherever? So there is interest. People are interested. We just have to, keep at it. I mean, 10 years in wine...
I'm so excited.
I mean, if you think about it, this boom, this renaissance is only 10 years, of this new wave of Armenian winemaking. And 10 years is nothing. If you talk about the European winemakers, it's fifth, sixth generation.
Exactly.
What's 10 years? And it's so much has been done in such
exactly.
a short time. And the potential is just, if we keep at it, do the quality, we will never be the most economic wine producer in the world because we don't have the grapes, the territory is very small, logistically it's very challenging, but we have to concentrate on doing the niche product, telling the stories, showing that this is really a unique grape, a unique mm-hmm. land, a unique history, and finding our way in the world.
The presence, exactly, the marketplace. It's just so excited. So the winery is making how many types of varietals of
them? At the moment, there's 4 ranges. I mean, our first range is Armenia wine, and this is, let's say the entry level, but fantastic quality price ratio, Areni, red and
the
white.
Everyday
Gambon.
Wine?
Yes. Uh-huh. Wine for every moment, every occasion. In fact, it's the best seller in Armenia, and it is the best exporting wine of Armenia. So we're very proud of this. And just a week ago, I got the news that AWC International Wine Challenge in Vienna, we got silver medals for Armenia red and white.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. I get really excited about these awards. It's kind of, it's curious, especially when we get it for our entry-level wines, because it's always, this is, let's say, our bread and butter. This mm-hmm. is where majority of our businesses, this is the biggest volume of the grapes. The more farmers, more people are involved in making these wines than, let's say, Dariri, which is, again, an award-winning, our top range of wines, mm-hmm. but which is, let's say, the jewel of the crown. And that's much easier to make a beautiful wine when you're selecting, so selecting the grapes. And, it's a different.
What is the price difference between those two?
Probably Dariri is probably, well, at least four times more expensive than Armenia, let's say.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful wine. It's more of a Bordeaux blend. It has Areni as a base, but there's also Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, interesting.
With barrel aging. It's a beautiful wine. It's done very well. We're sold out, in fact. It's a very small bottling. We do maximum a few thousand bottles, mm-hmm. only from the grapes from our own vineyards. So that's also, wine is amazing. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I love talking about the wine. Yeah. I love, because exactly, the wine is not just an alcoholic beverage. It's something that has a history behind it. It has so much that goes into the bottle, you know, the topography, the soil, the climate, the weather, and again, like I said, history and all that.
It can change every year. This is what I love about it. It's not a formula. You can, you know, my one of my favorite quotes, a winemaker said this, he goes, it's more fun to make good wine in a difficult year when, you know, everything is against you and then yet you persevere. That's the art of winemaking.
Exactly.
You know, although I'd say that, you know, God might not have been angry with you that year and you had too much rain or too little rain or whatever, hail, and yet you managed to make a wonderful wine out of it. And I think that's really fun. It's not a formula, Coca-Cola or soft drink that is always the same no matter what.
Absolutely not. It's constantly evolving, developing. Also, the winemaker, you know, he picks up new techniques. He wants to improve on what he has
especially,
done last year.
Of course, especially this is true of Armenia because, as you know, we keep talking about, this is innovation. You know, we are using old old grape varietals, no? And Armenia is a cradle of winemaking. And yet, we are discovering a new ways of working with these grapes, you know, because mm-hmm. For so many years, for example, Gangun was a grape that
Gangun
was...
Gangun is a white
grape? White grape, yes. Okay. It's a white grape. I mean, it's Gangun. It's in Armenian, it's based... it's the word stable, Gangnel. No, mm-hmm. stable or hardy. So, because in Armenia, the climate is so harsh, you know, with cold winters, hot summers, very big difference between night and day. And the vineyards, in fact, are buried in winter months. And then in the spring, we dig them up again so they do not suffer from the frost. But what I was saying about Gangun, this grape was planted during the Soviet Union, mainly for brandy production because it's so stable.
It's the base, white grape. Yeah.
And it was never used for white wine production because, mm-hmm. you know, they would use, let's say, more noble grapes. And we have done our winemakers have done a fantastic job with Gangun and we're really, really proud. We were the first to use Gangun to make wine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just beautiful wines, constantly winning awards. I mean, we do Charmat, the sparkling wine from Gangun. It's the base for all our white wines and it shows itself in different ways in each, let's say, in each category, from Armenia, which is young, fresh, crispy, juicy, with great acidity, to Dariri, which is more mellow, more rich. It's barrel fermented, so it would maybe remind you more of a California Chardonnay.
That's what I was going to ask. So, I have so many questions, but I know we can't just sit here all day. Where are the barrels coming from?
We are mainly working because our initial consultant was, he still is, our head consultant is Jean-Baptiste Sula. He's from Bordeaux. And so our barrels are French, most of our barrels. But we are also working with Karabakh oak barrels. This is
exciting.
Also part of the innovation, exactly, because it's very interesting to see how the, you know, the oak from our own land,
mm-hmm.
you know, what it gives to the wine. So we're working in that direction as well. It's experimental. Some of Dariri, for example, we also use Karabakh oak, or Artsakh oak.
Is it similar species to, like, the Russian oak or Hungarian oak?
Honestly, I don't want to comment on that. I think it's a separate. It has its own. I mean, I can't remember the name, the Latin name for it, but I can check on this.
Well, there would be something to maybe elaborate next time.
Sure, sure. I'll look it up.
It is exciting because oak is such a valuable part of the winemaking. And then if there can be some Armenian oak made, mm-hmm. I know like a lot of winemakers like to experiment and they will do a little bit aging in the French oak, American oak, Hungarian oak, mm-hmm. Russian oak. Mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. if there is also an Armenian oak in the mix, and that would be awesome.
Absolutely. No, no. And some wineries, for example, I know a winery in Artsakh that is only working with Karabakh oak, you know, and I mean, there's, it's really an incredible world. And I think, you know, your imagination, mm-hmm. You know, is, yeah, I know even, I mean, of wine, I mean, not oak is not the only wood used in wine aging or fermenting, you know, acacia or all, you know, there's lots of other barrels that are being used, but oak is prevalent. So, yeah, I mean, it all depends what you want to achieve and, and
you know. Which flavor profile you want. Last question would be, where do you see the Armenian industry, like, 10 years from now? What do you think? What's your vision for?
I am very optimistic. I think we have an incredible offer to the world, to the wine enthusiasts out there. Again, we will never be a mainstream wine providing country because, there's not enough land for all the, you know, our total hectares right now in Armenia max, it's about 17,000 hectares when, let's say, Spain has about 1 million, over 1 million hectares. That's about 3 million acres, or in Armenia, we only have 42 acres planted now. So imagine the proportions.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we have to really keep on insisting on quality, on being a product of, you know, of highlands, indigenous varietals, very unique offer, and yet not too quirky that
it's unaffordable or unapproachable.
Or unapproachable.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think there's, again, I insist that everything is personal. The stories are very important. And at the end, especially for wine lovers, the story is so important. And I think Armenia is, there's so many wonderful stories, you know, that come out of our land. And that's the beauty of it.
Exactly. So. Yeah. There is, I want to add that, you know, with the millennials, they are very interested. They don't just go into like mainstream wines. They're very interested when they get a wine. They want to know the story behind it. And the more interesting and more exciting the story is, the more likely they are to drink it. So I have very high and good hopes that
so
Armenian wine would be
so
emerging and becoming popular. And that's one of the goals of this program, to have information about wine
course,
that will broadcast.
And this is a wonderful platform. I mean, this is another way of innovating in an old tradition. You know, Armenian highlands have been proven as the area where grape domestication and the first viticulture has taken place. Now it's the origin of wine. And now, with modern technologies, with modern winemaking techniques, we are bringing back these old varieties. We're trying to plant more vineyards because I think it's a very, very worthwhile. It's a very noble work, you
exactly.
know, working the land.
See,
I think it's the most noble work there is. And so my hope is that in 10 years' time, hopefully we'll have doubled the hectares. We'll have planted a vineyards. Maybe we'll have 30,000 hectares planted, and there'll be more wine producers of every different, you know, from small boutique family wineries to a big producer. Like Armenia wine, because although it's difficult. Our logistics are a challenge, the political or the system around us, and it's a challenge. But I think if you have an interesting product with a story
and dedication,
you can get it out.
And yeah,
people who want to hear it and they want to drink our history.
Yes, yes. Cheers to that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to going and trying some of the wines. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was
for
great.
For meeting and having
your
conversation.
Yeah.
I will be in touch with lots of questions.
Thank you. And keep spreading the message.
I will.
Wine is life.
I will. Wine is life. Wine is life, and we'll love it.
Yeah.
So,
thank
all right. Till the next time.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Wine is life. Keep spreading the message. I love it, Anush. That was great.
It was wonderful. A great interview. It was fun meeting Naidi. I'm so super excited to get all the information, all the knowledge from her. And I told her, I had so many questions, but I was trying to refrain myself to just going the interview into hours and hours. But I said, Naidi, I'm going to be in contact with you. And super excited about this development and the industry growth and so much great wine coming out from Armenia.
No, God bless. And you know what? One more thing. You seem so comfortable. That was great, too.
That's my element. It's the wine.
There you go. By the way, that picture you just popped up there, Drew, that is where I was in Armenia. We got to get one of these days, we have to get Anush in Armenia to enjoy that place that I was at. Wow. That is just beautiful. You know, Anush, the wine, the growth, I mean, it's definitely becoming a topic of Armenia now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the wine industry, it used to be like back in the 90s, I would say it was more the brandy. But now, do you think that the wine has overtaken the brandy now?
I think it will. It's definitely going into that direction because, like we talked about in previous too, brandy is, yes, you can enjoy it, but after dinner, after the meal. But the wine, it goes with the dinner. You can have one or two glasses. It's a... to me, it seems like this is going to be the primary beverage consumed rather than vodka or brandy, for that matter.
You're right about that. You're right about that. Well, Anush, thank you so much. That was a fabulous job you did, and we will have this up and running. We'll have it up tonight, actually, so we're pretty excited about that. So, Drew, get on that. And, folks... where can we find your stuff out, Anush? Is there a wine site that they could go to? Is there a homepage that our fans can find as well?
Absolutely. There's two ways that you can find out more about Armenia Wine Company. I will post the link on the main page on the Armenia Proud. Also, along with some pictures, as well as on my own wine page. It's called Anush's Wine Page, and I'll have the pictures. I'll copy the link, and I will have the website of the winery. And again, for those who are not in East Coast or West Coast, if you are in a place where they do not distribute Armenian wine, go to the small shops, specialty stores that sell wine, and ask them the particular one. They will for sure contact the and I'll put all the information about the importers too. They will contact the importer distributor, and they can get the wine. It's very easy actually to get it in. So
cool.
We support the business.
Well, I tell you what, we didn't have a wine segment this time. Maybe next week we'll have our little wine segment. But fabulous job again, and we'll be in touch next week, Anush.
Sounds good. Sounds good, John. You have a great week and a great weekend.
You too, my friend. Take care.
All right.
Where, Drew, you're now working the boards. Where did Brian take off?
He disappeared.
He disappeared?
Yep, he disappeared.
How can a big guy like that disappear?
It can happen.
Wow. I didn't even see him disappear.
Poof.
He's a Houdini.
Houdini.
He's a Houdinian.
Houdinian.
He's Armenian Houdini. Well, he may be an extra large Houdini. All right. Hey, folks, our next guest, he's been on our show before, and I seen him on Facebook, Tigran Chibakchian. And this is the guy that has the biggest, the longest zip line in the world right now. And Tigran, how are you? How are you doing in Armenia, my man?
Fantastic. Everything is cool here.
Everything is good. Everything is good. And I seen you on Facebook, man. You've come a long ways. Everything is working out. You got the zip line done.
No, we haven't finalized the zip line yet. We are doing grand opening in May 2018. Of the longest zip line, and for now we are finalizing some small projects in the park, so it is already much more interesting.
I seen it. You're having like concerts there. You're having. I thought it was beautiful. I went to your site, and it's. I think it's a beautiful concept. A lot of people are getting involved, and I see people that are very happy walking around doing a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, so next year we'll have like three big events. it will be in May, the grand opening of the longest zip line. In the middle of June, it will be the Artsakh Air Fest. And in the beginning of August, it will be the Yale Extreme Birthday Party again.
Okay. So the second one you mentioned, is that going to be a music festival?
No, it will be air festival.
Oh, an Artsakh air festival. Air. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Are we going
to
have
the airport?
Are we going to have any type of music festival too? Because I seen one video where you had bands playing and everything. I thought that would be kind of exciting there as well.
Yeah, all the parties will be with the music festival.
Nice, nice. I tell you what, it definitely sounds like a fun time. And I seen you with the president of Armenia there. That was a great picture.
Thank you.
With
the government, the president honored me with a medal for extraordinary impact into Armenian economy.
Excellent. That's so good. You know what? That's the kind of businesses I like to see in Armenia, too, to where people are spending money and enjoying their time out there, too. Did our president say maybe he'd like to get on this longest zip line as well?
No, the president, I don't think that he will fly, but hopefully he will come for the grand opening.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. You got anything going on right now? It's Friday night. I seen your park. It never closes. You guys are always doing something there.
We have every evening we have a small party. So, every day something is going on there.
Something's happening.
I'm not now in park, so I don't know what's going on today, but we have something also.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. That's
yesterday we were doing the night deep light flights.
Wow.
So you can also try night flights in Yale Extreme.
Wow, that's got to be fun and it's got to be exciting. How do people find you again? Let our people out there know how they could find your park and where do they go.
We have our web page is yellowextremepark.com. We have a Facebook page, Yellow Extreme Park. Hopefully, you can find us on Google. Just Google us.
Excellent. Excellent, brother. And I tell you what, Tigran, I was headed in November, but now, you know, I'm thinking it's going to be a little cold and all that, so I planned on coming out in spring, and I definitely want to stop by your park, and I hope to lose a couple pounds, so I will be getting on your zip line as well, my friend. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Okay, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Tigran. You take care. And
just call me before.
Okay, take care. That's Tigran
Chubakchian,
my friends. Take care. Bye. Tigran's out there having parties every night. He could only talk to me for about 5-6 minutes.
He's a busy guy.
I'm telling you, this guy likes that whole place of his is one big party. You only had 6 minutes with me, but you know what? I know where to go in Armenia to have a great time, outdoor fun, and that's the place to be.
Next year, that zip line's opening up.
Yeah, I hope I'm not that type that's going to be stuck right in the middle with that thing just stuck right there.
Sinking in.
Yeah, sinking right down the middle there, and I'm not really zip lining. I'm more like a teabagging.
You got to like kind of scoot.
Something. Anyway, folks, we had a great show. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the guests. Wow, we had like 4 guests. I don't know. Anush had one too. So
kind of four.
Four guests on the show. And all your support. You guys show a lot of support and we love you for it. And again, go to Amazon. Well, don't just go to Amazon. Go to ArmeniaProud.com, and you'll see Amazon on your right-hand side. Click on Amazon. It's getting close to all your holidays. Click on Amazon, shop away, and we get a little love back. How about that? You're happy. I'm happy. Everybody's happy. All right. That's what it's all about, Drew. Everyone being happy.
I dig it.
All right. And from me, from Jono, from Drew, from Houdinian that just disappeared, Brian, We love you guys out there. Genatzit Kisher Party. We'll see you next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at armeniaproud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at facebook.com/armeniaproud or Twitter at armeniaproud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.